Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Hudson deals. Swung on and hit in the air to left field and deep. That ball is high. That is far. That is gone. It's a grand slam. Anthony Volpe put a charge in one.
Who else? John Sterling on WFAN. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Prof. All right, we got a series, Pearl. Are you ready to start jumping back into the World Series and maybe perhaps the Yankees can make this a little more interesting than it had been through the first three games? It's now 3-1. Hello and good morning.
But for the first time, I have a little bit, just a skunch of nerves to say it's done. Just a little bit.
On like the Dodgers side of things.
Yeah, like that. No, that the World Series is over because no one's ever come back from 3-0 in a World Series. So yesterday, of course, I said it's over.
Yeah.
And right now, I consider myself a man of numbers, an analytic person. It's still over, but it doesn't feel as over as it did yesterday. In the sense that I think the Dodgers went up and they figured, oh, you know what? The Yankees' bats are dead. What's the point? Like, we're going to win this game. And then we saw something different.
Yeah.
So I would say, if I want to quantify it, 5%? No, 3%.
Whoa. So you're saying there's a chance. I mean, 3% is nothing.
What's your sense?
The way I'm feeling this morning is there's still no shot. If the Yankees win tonight, though, and if they can send this series back to L.A., then I think the pressure really gets put on L.A. at that point. You know, I think the Dodger fans will probably be positive and welcoming, but you can't tell me they're not going to be a little bit nervous if the Yankees do force this thing back to L.A. And it's funny because sports is like that sometimes, where the team that gets down gets desperate and starts playing a little bit freer, a little nothing to lose. Then all of a sudden, the pressure completely switches. Now, that hasn't happened yet. That will only happen if tonight, Gerrit Cole, Jack Flaherty, if Gerrit Cole pitches like the guy he's paid to be, then this should be an epic game from him, and this should be a Yankees win. You do have the advantage on the mound tonight, and it's all been all about the Yankee bats. They came through last night. But yeah, some numbers to it. So no one's ever even forced a game six after having gone down 0-3 in a World Series.
Right.
So you're looking at something that'd be historic and unprecedented. And again, we're not even close to being there yet. You do have, though, teams that have come back from down 3-1. And the last one was famously the Cubs and the Cleveland now Guardians. And that was one of the most epic World Series that we've had. So it's either going to go one of two ways, the way I see it. It's going to go quietly into the night tonight, and the Dodgers will be celebrating. Or perhaps we get a shot at something really historic. So I'm rooting for the historic just because I like baseball and I want to see more of it. But if the Yankees win tonight, the pressure does flip to the Dodgers, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this. The Yankees have these issues, right? Aaron Judge not hitting. I got on base last night. Gave him a lot of credit for that.
The bullpen for the Dodgers was, you know, this is the bullpen game. This is what happens. You got to use 8 or 9 guys to get through a game. One of them may not have it.
Well, I think Dave Roberts was smart not using his best relievers toward the end. I would have done the same thing. But the Yankees still have these problems. They're not great base running. They're really not great fielding. I worry about, you know, it's funny. In our production call last night, we were ripping Aaron Boone for moving the lineup around and putting Jazz Chisholm behind Aaron Judge. That kind of worked out. But I wonder, are those bats going to come to life? Because if they do, then it's really scary. If those bats in the middle of the lineup other than Stanton. So maybe there's a thing here, but I worry that the same mistakes that have been dooming the Yankees all series long will come back tonight.
Listen, last night was about a little redemption, actually, for guys who had made mistakes and then ended up coming back and kind of freeing themselves from them. So Anthony Volpe, who you heard with the Grand Slam, he becomes the hero from last night as a local person. I live 10 minutes from his high school, just randomly. But he had this like base running sort of gaffe where he was on second and took too long to tag up on a fly ball that maybe he could have scored on. Now he ends up scoring anyway, but he sort of was wearing it after that. And then Gleyber Torres, who's just a butcher when he's in the field. This is not a good fielder. And he, to start a double play, Perloff, he tossed the ball a little too high to Volpe, gave Freddie Freeman a chance to leg out a single, and it got overturned. How Freddie Freeman is doing this, again, hits a home run, gets to first and allows a run to score, and then Gleyber Torres ends up hitting a three-run home run later in the game to really put it away.
Are we done with the Freddie Freeman Kirk Gibson comparison after he legged that out? The guy can move again. But regardless, you know what? That wasn't so bad a play. I understand what, like, the Smoltz got into that. That wasn't like an egregious error. It was a little high and they almost got him.
No, it's just the history of Gleyber. That's the only thing. Yeah. Yes, that one wasn't so egregious. But if you watch Gleyber a lot, you know this dude just cannot get it. He is just focus or whatever, or ability. I don't know. He's a talented guy, but he's awful out there generally. And then, so you got the Yankees winning. We're asking you if they win tonight, do you think this is on, and can the pressure get put on the Dodgers? I think this game will be remembered for a couple things. If the Yankees make it a big comeback, it'll be remembered for the Volpe Grand Slam. By the way, he's only hit two home runs since August. Like, this was not in the cards. You know, this wasn't Stanton hitting a grand slam. This one was very improbable. And the two idiots who interfered with Mookie Betts in the first inning. Who do these two jabronis think they are? I mean, you've got to be the lamest, dumbest. I mean, it's clueless. There's not enough adjectives for this kind of behavior. And if you missed it, it was actually Gleyber. Gleyber hits a pop-up, basically. It's in foul territory in right field. Mookie Betts screaming over to the wall to try to make the play, does make the play, catches the ball in foul territory. And this dude,
you jabroni,
opens up Mookie Betts' glove and rips the ball out while his clown friend is holding Mookie Betts' other hand by the wrist. These two bozos have to get excommunicated from New York. And in fact, the opposite is happening. They're season ticket holders, and they're actually going to get let back in the building for tonight's game.
Excommunicate from New York? I feel like they should be a statue made of these guys. I mean, Jeffrey Mayer is one of the great all-time New York sports heroes. And counterpoint, it worked in the SEC. The Texas fans interfered with the game and got the call right. I just think this is the era of fans affecting games. Might as well give it a shot. What's the downside? I'm joking. Of course, they're idiots.
They could have dislocated Mookie Betts' wrist.
If they had been a little more subtle, they could have messed up that catch. They just are typical New Yorkers and over the top. If you're going to interfere, you got to sort of make it look like an accident.
Yeah, right. Take a cue from some of the five families here in the Mafia. Make it look like an accident. This was the most blatant, aggressive. This is the worst. If they say sports is always the doorstep of, like, you know, any university, or they say that for a city, then this is the worst advertisement for New York you could possibly have. Like, two idiots acting like aggressive losers who feel like they're entitled to everything. This is the worst we have to offer as New Yorkers. I hate this, that these two guys are going to be the poster child. Like, we're not all like that.
We don't claim them.
Yeah, we don't. But meanwhile, you're right. The Jeffrey Mayer, though, we're going back to the 1996 ALCS, the Yankees and the Orioles. At least that was a homer. These two dopes are in foul territory.
Well, I would argue,
Bartman, like, he's still in hiding. I mean,
you might get away with it in foul territory. Homer is so obvious. Like, that
they didn't have replay back then.
Back then, and the umpires were over the top pro Yankees. Now it's a little, you got to be more subtle. Honestly, if they'd executed their interference better, maybe we're not talking about the same way.
They couldn't execute it better because Mookie Betts made the catch. Like, that's it. It was to Tony Tarasco. Maybe it was a little bit of a dicey situation. This dude, had it.
I think they were in the post five beer era of the night. If they were between 2 and 5, maybe a little subtlety, Maggie. First of all, again, you desperately want your team to win. I kind of get the reason they did it. It was just poorly executed. They got to do it better next time. What, you know, one more game in Yankee Stadium.
I can't believe these guys are being let back in the building. I know you're a season ticket holder. You look at a ticket. If you ever turn around the back of the ticket, right? Yep. It's just miles of fine print. I've never stopped to read any of that because nobody does, except for lawyers, I guess. It has to say somewhere in those millions of miles of fine print, if you touch one of the players while they're trying to make a play, you're gone for good. as you should be. You can't touch Mookie Betts. What's the matter with you?
The Dodgers fans will not do this, but they should just attack the Yankee outfielders at those short porches at Dodger Stadium. Just anything near, just jump right on the field and tackle Aaron Judge. I don't care.
Oh, my gosh. Rules just don't apply anymore. What happened to rules?
To society?
The issue is... After they blatantly try to rip the ball out the glove and then grab the wrist, they proceeded to say that he passed, like, the foul territory,
yes.
So they have a right to touch him.
Yep. They said that?
Yes.
He's like, this is my territory.
I'm like, what is this, stand your ground? It's a freaking baseball game. Yeah, we just stopped doing rules. When was that?
What if Mookie was interfering with their nachos? Now, we can all respect that because that's a delicate balance. You buy nachos at a stadium, they cost 30 bucks, and then to get it down to your seat is an achievement without spilling it. Then you got players coming in and ruining it. I should be the one guy in America defending these two idiots. I'm not a huge fan of Yankee fans. I'm not going to lie to you, Maggie. I don't consider myself a New Yorker in any possible way.
No, you're Philadelphia. You're a fan of Philadelphia, got a whole bunch of other issues.
Yeah, if this was, we wouldn't even be talking about it if it was an Eagles fan because that would just be business as usual. But yeah, this was obviously totally egregious. You're exactly right. You nailed it. This is going to be like the image for the next 30 years. Hey, what's a Yankee fan look like? Here we go.
This dude with the double chin trying to grab the ball out of Mookie Betts' hand. Hey, Austin Capobianco. That's his name.
The Yankees now better win this series because if they lose this series, all we're going to talk about is, man, they got smoked and their fans had to try to get in the game in order to even win one. That's all we're going to think about.
Like Bartman.
Yeah, exactly.
But these guys, I think when Bartman happened with the Cubs and the Florida Marlins, and obviously the Cubs that turned the game and the Cubs end up losing and the curse continued and all that, I think we were still perhaps a rule-following society at that point. I don't think we'd fully crossed over to where we are now, where the more anarchy, the more you're celebrated.
Maggie.
The more you just openly skirt the rules, the law, whatever it is, you are just now propped up on a pedestal like these two dudes.
You youngins, you have no idea what it used to be like. It used to be the fans would fight hockey players every third game. Like, you think, like, Malice in the Palace was not an accident. There was a lot of fan interaction back in the day. That's why the NBA had to change their rules, because they were building towards Malice at the Palace.
That's
like
true.
It used to get way more physical. And maybe it's because I grew up in Philly, but trust me, this is not, like, you think fans are so much better behaved now than they were 30 years ago. 30 years ago, it was utter chaos at a lot of these stadiums.
I remember Robert Parrish going into the stands, right? Someone was saying something to his wife. Like, yes, there's hockey players. That's like with assault.
Yeah, I think stadiums are way more bougie than they used to be. Now it's like 40 bucks for a beer, and I don't know. I'm surprised those guys got that ticket.
They're season ticket holders. They're rich idiots.
Yeah.
So, awesome. The best type.
I honestly don't think stadiums are more chaotic, but this is interesting that you get guys like that who can get that. I'm like, thank God, that's good for baseball. Generally, the real fans are there. And it's not like we go to a Super Bowl and it's a corporate crowd.
Yeah.
The World Series. I figured, is a World Series like a real baseball crowd?
Yeah. I mean, you're in your home stadium.
Yeah.
So you should. I mean, the Super Bowls, it's a neutral field.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's all go to Atlanta for, you know, in the Falcons, you know, they had a season where they won 7 games, you know. This is, you're in your home stadium. Yankees haven't been in the World Series in 15 years. It's a huge deal. And I just think, I can't imagine how this person, how these two guys, but even a season ticket holder, how do you let this guy back in the building? I just don't get it.
No, he should be done for life. I mean, if we look back at what fans have done to be done for life, like, this is easily falls in that category.
Oh, my goodness. The guy's grabbing Mookie Betts' wrist. I mean, the ripping the ball out of the glove thing is just insane, but you can't be grabbing onto a guy like that.
This is the Yankees playing the result, because if Mookie got hurt, which could have happened, grabbing wrist like that, there's no way they're letting him back in the building.
I'm surprised MLB is not pressuring the Yankees to do something about that, because it's an embarrassing look for them, too.
Yeah, I don't think they want any part of this.
Really? Okay.
They don't want to start litigating this. They're unpopular enough. Rob Manfred. He's not, yeah. Anyway, 855-212-4227.
I grew up the Phillies used to play the Mets in the 80s, and it was hot nights in Philadelphia, and everybody was drunk, and often there'd be bat night. It was just like...
Oh my God, what a terrible combination.
Have you ever seen the movie? You guys, it's an old movie from the 70s, like late 70s, called The Warriors, where it's just everybody... That was a Phillies-Mets game.
Yeah.
It used to be way
more. That was like New York in the 70s. Yeah. It was really unhinged.
Sports used to be so much cooler back in the day. Like Eagles games is just like fights and booze and kegs in the stands. Now it's way watered down. I don't think that we've lost control of sports. This felt like more of a one-off to me.
Okay. EJ, can you put this up on the poll on Maggie and Pearl at X? Are fans better behaved today or back in the day? Are fans better now or back in the day in terms of their behavior? Because you're right about Eagles fans. I've got some Eagles fans in my life, not just you, like I'm related to them by marriage. And these are Ivy League educated people who will go to an Eagles Cowboys games and literally get in fist fights. I'm like, what happened to you guys? Is there a full moon? How did you turn into your regular, normal, law-abiding people get you against Eagles Cowboys and all of a sudden you're in some kind of holding cell underneath the stadium?
That's a great point. I mean, there's got to be real metrics on this, too. Is there more or less fan interference in games? I'm not sure. I don't think of baseball right now is where if there's a foul ball near the stands, it's going to be a wild scene. This felt like kind of a unique thing to me. I did not expect that. Maybe I'm not paying enough attention.
I cannot disagree more with this take. Because
you're a Miami Hurricane fan. Did you ever see what that old stadium was like for the Miami Hurricanes?
Oh, no, that was great. But with terms of, like, fights and issues, I mean, we have a viral fight from a football game or a basketball game every week.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a camera phone
every
now.
Week we're seeing guys bleeding, leaving stadiums. We had, what's the guy in the Angels, slapping a guy at the A's stadium last year on opening night.
Like, that's just the phones,
dude. We have a lot of incidents. Russell Westbrook's trying to fight fans pretty much every game. Like, I think
some of them get really serious, too.
Yeah, it's getting raunchy. I think there was a period where it got okay, and I think recently it's gotten worse. I think post-pandemic, people don't know how to act. Because I see viral fights and issues with fans and players every single week.
Right, but to Perloff's point, he feels like he was seeing all that back
we
in
didn't
the
have
day.
Phones.
Just no phones.
We didn't have...
Yeah. But we had phones in 2018. We weren't seeing this. It's way more now.
That's interesting, but I see what you're saying. So recently it's on an uptick, but it can't be like I remember this, like what was the Bouncy Palace 2004?
Yeah.
That was building for a long, long time. Like the NBA, because the fans are on top of the court and the players were all roided out of their heads. Like it was a much, do you remember the energy around the Heat Knicks in the 90s? Like there was a lot of violence in the air. That's how I felt at games. I don't feel that way anymore.
People used to fight in the stands.
Oh, well.
The funniest part of this, and by the way, you can call in at 855-212-4227. Our fans' behavior, is it worse today than it was back in the day, or is it actually better? Perloff thinks it's better now. It's a little bit more, you know, I think it's way more expensive to go to games. So you'd think that would lead to better behavior, but as we all know a couple of rich people, it doesn't mean that they're any classier than any of us. But still, the funniest fan fights to me is when people get in fights at boxing matches or at UFC events, like mixed martial arts. I'm like, are you really just watching that and then doing it?
Pretty much.
Do you really think this is going to be more entertaining? We're already watching two people fight. We don't need you.
I mean, there are people who feel like the reason why, you know, Pac unfortunately, you know, died, but like prior to that shooting, there was a Mike Tyson fight. And a lot of people feel like, you know, was someone who was, you know, he kind of lived off emotion. And a lot of people felt like he got into the fight prior to the shooting because he was at a Mike Tyson fight. Mike Tyson knocked some guy out in 2 minutes. And then, you know, Pac's up on aggression and then he bumps into a guy and then it starts a scuffle. Ooh. There's definitely that kind of energy.
Wow.
You know?
Imagine if there's so many conspiracy theories around the Tupac. If it was just something as simple as adrenaline from a boxing match.
Yeah, there's video cameras and walking around like really pumped up because of the fight.
I know Maggie wants to go 10 levels deeper on that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
50.
Our friend Jeff Perlman has a book on the Tupac coming out. I'm curious if there's going to be conspiracy stuff in there.
Sorry, you were about to say something else.
Oh, no. I think it's the phones or what's different, EJ. I think back in the day, well, you grew up as a Mets fan. I mean, God, Shea Stadium was wild.
I know, but I grew up upstate.
Oh, lovely Binghamton Mets. Yeah.
Yeah, the Binghamton Mets didn't cause as many fights.
I don't know. I mean, again,
I saw fights in high school. I mean, it was stuff like that, but that's just like kids' testosterone. That sort of stuff happens all over the country.
I mean, we did just see an incident again where people are throwing bottles on the field at Texas. I don't know if we're really seeing this get worse.
I don't know. I feel like The stuff, throwing stuff on the field definitely has gotten better.
Well, it Boomer Esiason down bad. The hall, that happened in one of his games, remember?
Yep. Oh, when he my was a God. Bangle. Yeah, that's been going on for years. Yeah. Actually, that if anything, that's steady. But throwing stuff on the field is a tradition as old as time. I think it's better.
855-212-4227. You're not allowed to have bottle caps anymore. Maybe that's doing it.
Or bottles. They pour it in plastic cups now.
That's so. True. Didn't stop the Texas fans from chucking them all on the field. Are fans better behaved now or back in the day? We're asking because of the two jabronis last night who interfered with Mookie Betts, who are being
pathetic
let back in the
loser.
Who being let back in the building today.
Yeah, see, I see those guys. I'm like, those are old school Yankee fans.
They're from Connecticut.
But they're like, they're not new school. The new school Yankee fan is on his phone, like posting on Instagram about this. Mookie Betts got close to us. I got to get this up there.
Yeah, there's something, too, about just wanting to be part of it, feeling like you're part of it. And not in a way like the fans running on the field after Hank Aaron broke the home run record, which, you know, Craig Sager.
By the way, that was a mess.
And that's a mess. And that was terrible to, you know, infringe on somebody's moment that they've worked hard for that you've done nothing for. But I think fans want to be part of it now or feel entitled to be part of it. 855-212-4227. All right, get going with a little fan talk. We've got a major update on one quarterback situation in the NFL. So we'll get to that too. Maggie and Perloff, glad to have you.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I do have a metric on fan violence and whether it's better or worse.
We're asking this off of the Yankee game last night where two jabronis interfered with Mookie Betts, got kicked out of the game.
So in 2002 at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, there were 309 arrests at the 8 home Eagles games.
I thought you were about to say it one game. I was like, what was there?
309.
Okay, sorry.
There was famously a jail at the Vet. Yeah. In 2003, they moved to the Lincoln Financial Field. It went down to 79, and they brought the jail over, and then they phased out the jail because fan violence became so much less.
Wow, there's no jail under Lincoln Financial?
I think it actually is still there, but I'm reading that they don't use it anymore. So this was in the late 90s. They had to put a jail in the stadium. Like that, to me, that was violent. And the NFL, I'm reading the New York Times, the NFL put out a new fan code last year, and they're like, you have to understand, social media makes this look much worse than it is. Fan violence is actually way down. It's just when one fight gets on to a social media platform, it looks like every game is like that.
Yeah.
That's what the NFL said, and I think there's something to that. I do think the camera phones make the violence seem more, seems like it's everywhere. I don't know if that's the case.
Let's go to Dan in California. By the way, we're asking today, is fan behavior worse now than it was back in the day? Dan, what do you think?
Oh, Furlong, you just beat me to the punch barely there. Yeah, I agree. I'm 65, and I think it was much worse back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I just looked up Malice in the Palace. I didn't realize it was that late. It was 2004 in Detroit. That thing was so nasty. And, you know, the referees in the NBA, you know, Michael Jordan, his first two or three seasons, he always had a protector because it was so, you know, violent out there, you know, especially when they played the Knicks. And I remember a game, I hope I remember this right. I think it was in Minnesota, when the Vikings were in an outdoor stadium, that fans were upset at the end of the game, and they were throwing bottles, and one hit a referee and knocked him out. You remember that?
But you can see how it would happen, and thank you for the call. And bottles now generally are not even, you can't even get them, right? It's either plastic, number one, or
they
two.
Take the cap off.
They take the cap off, or they'll put it in a cup, or whatever.
You know, there was a show on HBO recently about the 80s Lakers, and they talked about the Lakers-Celtics rivalry in back then, and it seemed incredibly violent. There was basically the scene where the Celtics fans were chasing the Lakers bus and throwing rocks at it. Like, and I don't know if that was fictionalized a little bit. I wasn't there, but still, it felt like there was more potential for a dangerous interaction with fans back in the day. Now, I mean, maybe there is, but has there been, are players actually scared of the fans? I feel like,
I don't think that
I feel like they're more annoyed by them.
I think maybe the social media part probably annoys them the most because just looking at your mentions and everyone's like, you're a bum, you're a loser. And, you know, that stuff I think definitely bothers them.
There might be, by the way, I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a feeling, I can't imagine, especially in the NBA because the fans are so close. Maybe you do feel a little bit of danger.
Bill is in Houston. Bill, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think the interactions with the fans are worse today. You have to pass through a metal detector when you go into a stadium today. That was not the case 30 years ago. But I really believe that any time a fan becomes part of the game, where they're putting their hands on a player, football, it would seem to take care of itself because if a guy runs onto a field, players are protected and the guy's going to get crushed. But at a baseball game, like you pointed out, Mookie Betts, he could have had his glove taken off his hand, a dislocated finger, a wrist injury. They were right next to his head, his eyes. Just example, the Houston Texans game on Sunday, Tank Dell jumped into the stands after a touchdown, and there was a fan for the other team, a Colts fan there, and they were congratulating him. He just stood there and watched. But a player has to think, what if that guy was angry?
And what if
he was mentally unbalanced? And I would worry if I was a player today. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. And that's why, you're right about that. And thankfully, none of that happened here. But this is why we're so surprised that these two guys are getting let back into the game tonight. I get it. You're a season ticket holder, but you also acted like a loser.
I actually didn't even know that. They're going to be there tonight?
Well, they're allowed back in the stadium.
Unbelievable. That is incredible.
I mean, seriously, what does being a Yankee season ticket holder buy you? Apparently, get out of jail free.
Immunity.
Yeah, immunity forever. What do you have to do to get your season ticket revoked, if not that? Andrew Bogish is back with us today. Bogues, how you feeling, pal?
I'm okay, guys. It's good to see both of you.
We assumed that you were trying to avoid an eventual not-safe-for-work Andrew Perloff Halloween costume. You were just going to be out this whole week.
Kind of right. I was developing, a disease that would create a buffer around me to keep Perloff and his loose clothing and short clothing away from me. So we'll see.
Let me ask you a question. Who'd you get a concern note from me, obviously? Did Maggie send you a note?
That is the interesting development of the last, 72 hours.
Wait, what do you mean?
I only heard from Perloff.
Okay.
Not you, not EJ.
Hold on 1 second. I said to Perloff, I was like, man, do you think Bogut's okay? You're like, yeah, I reached out to him. He's fine. He just has a bad cold. I said, do you think I should also text him? And Perloff said, nah, I got it. I did it.
I don't remember this conversation.
We had this conversation. I was like, nah, all right, I'm not going to bother him. Clearly, he's not really sick.
I also asked a question last night, and Perloff also said, oh, he's fine.
See,
I talked to him.
Perloff was just setting himself up to, I guess now he wants to be friends.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm a concerned coworker.
Yeah.
I'm the nice guy around here. I guess you guys are just too into your own worlds to reach out to Bogus. I guess
you
that's
talk
what
me out of it.
I'll be honest, and this is not a bit. I was out Monday, and then I didn't come in Tuesday. When the email went out about Tuesday, I 90 minutes passed. I'm like, huh. I probably would have reached out to somebody by now if they were out for a second straight day. And then my phone buzzed. It was Perloff. I'm like, oh, my buddy's here.
Yeah.
And then nothing else. So it was noted.
Oh, my God. I said, should I text him? And you were like, no, I got it. I did it for the both of us.
How did they even get that far, though, is the question. Why are you 72 hours later asking him if you should check in?
No, that was after 24 hours.
You didn't even know if he was alive.
I almost texted, are you alive? I was like, that might be misconstrued.
I don't know.
All right.
Sure seems like there's one good person in the room right now.
Oh, my gosh.
You
shocked
me.
I'm going to defend myself and say that. My thing is, I never know if it's something super personal. So
right.
My thing is, if it's very personal, he can handle it. I don't want to be asking him.
Although,
like,
we may have known when Dave Marinick's email went out and said, Bogush is not going to be in.
Yeah.
If it was something serious, he probably wouldn't have been messing around like that.
I didn't even notice that. Bogush is now ingrained in my brain. I say it all the time in my apartment. Andrea hates it. That I just saw that.
Bogush.
It was normal.
I even met this woman, and she already hates my name. Great. The news gets better.
Well, you know, we were thinking about you.
Were you?
Was. And I was saying your name all weekend because I do it every weekend.
I'm pretty sure I sent things to Maggie's house when last time she was sick.
You know, you did reach out.
If you were okay in that dungeon of a studio.
My closet. But here's the thing. When I get sick, I basically send out the bat signal to everybody. I'm like, I'm sick.
Yeah.
I've got COVID. I tell 25 people in the company.
No, okay. Maggie's sick. It's almost like an NFL player. It's like it's going to be a game time decision.
I'm doubtful.
Yeah.
We're monitoring closely. Yeah.
Limited in the call.
I mean, today. Bogus, you and I both know that I was only checking to make sure you're here on Thursday.
I know. That's the last thing you said was just make sure you're back for Halloween.
Like, Bogus is now threat. Part of my Halloween costume. Yeah.
Oh, no.
My right shoulder, specifically.
Oh, my God. It has to be pixelated.
Yeah.
So offensive.
Yeah.
Every day Bogus was out, I was like, these short shorts are getting 1 inch shorter. Just to make you pay. I don't know why you would have to pay.
I know. Honestly, just let me know in advance. If you're really going to file something with HR against me, just
get a head start to San Antonio.
Yeah. Please tell
keep
me.
Going to Texas.
I mean, I'm
going to
do it anyway.
Mexico.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, these, you're going to have an uncomfortable moment on Thursday.
Great.
But just let me know, like, maybe I should bring an attorney with me.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue don't do it, but if you want to bring a lawyer in for the, you know.
I can't help it. At this point, I have to make you uncomfortable on Halloween. It's important to
Last
me.
Last year, your short shorts were not just short. They were also white.
They were barely shorts.
It was just cloth.
It's like granny panties.
I've seen bathing suits that were much bigger.
Wow, that's still better
than
the
clothes on cavemen.
Still better than the Roddy Piper kilt.
Oh my gosh, are you coming as Adam from Adam and Eve? Because that would be the next logical step. Anyway, we're so glad to have you back. We were thinking about you, Bogues. We're glad you're
the lies. Headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Somehow, this happened again last night in the Bronx.
Swinging a belted ball to right field, hooking toward the corner. Freddie Freeman, simply unstoppable.
Oh.
He points to the bullpen as he rounds the bases for an MLB record. 6 consecutive World Series game after a home run.
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. Freeman also the first ever to go deep in the first 4 games of a World Series. He did the exact same thing, a 2-run homer into the short porch and right in the top of the first in Game 3, but this time it did not lead to a Dodger win. The Yankees rallying behind that Anthony Volpe grand slam. Then a 5-run eighth to put away an 11-4 season-extending win. Not even manager Aaron Boone could mess that up.
It's one game. We wanted to get it to tomorrow, and we've done that, and excited for the opportunity tomorrow.
Game 5 is now tonight, still in the Bronx, with Gerrit Cole and Jack Flaherty on the mound. None of the previous 24 World Series where a team took a 3-0 lead have gotten to Game 6.
By the way, do you just walk Freddie Freeman in the first inning of this next game? What's the approach? Like, you cannot throw anything near the plate.
No. In the first inning, absolutely not. Because it would be the dumbest. Like, is Aaron Boone alive? Like, is he alive? Is
you
he
think
real sick?
He should have known this coming into last night's game.
I mean, how much more evidence do you need that this guy's on a tear?
Now
that's like
believe.
The natural.
So just walk him Barry Bonds style. Like, you can't do that.
Well, listen, game situation's going to come into it, but the guy's clearly healthy. He can hit. He's legging out these singles because your defense is not tip-top.
One thing about the series, too, Shohei, I know Shohei made a nice swing on a ball last night, but Shohei can't run. The guy's
literally holding his shoulder.
It's insane.
While running.
So maybe the Dodgers' Shohei injury evens this out a little bit. I didn't even think about that because he's not really contributing that much anyway.
And then he had to slide, and it was like...
That's sad. What is going on here?
The swing was nice, though.
Yeah, he did actually end up getting on base, but...
Yeah, no power behind it, but like he looked
Yeah, but
okay.
Then he had a very embarrassing at-bat for him where he just looked way off.
I know. Yeah, he looked awful.
It's just the holding the shoulder while you're running.
That is so weird. That seems like something I would do. Not Shohei Ohtani. Like, he's holding
he's
a brace in place? Like,
yeah.
I don't... That is, they need a better brace.
Yeah, back to the drawing board on that.
The White Sox are as far away from the World Series as possible after a record 121 losses this season. They are reportedly hiring Rangers associate manager Will Venable as their new skipper. Lions wideout Jameson Williams is in trouble again. During an October 8th traffic stop, Williams admitted to police there was a gun under his passenger seat, but he doesn't have a concealed carry permit. So he was placed in handcuffs that night, but eventually released, which probably shouldn't have happened. WXYZ-TV in Detroit began asking questions, so an arrest warrant was issued late last week. Detroit PD says the investigation is evolving. Two more NFL trades yesterday. The Ravens getting wideout Deontay Johnson from the Panthers, and the Vikings get left tackle Cam Robinson from the Jags. He'll replace Christian Darrisaw, who suffered a season-ending knee injury. No Steph Curry or Andrew Wiggins last night, but the Warriors won anyway.
Waters avoids Alvarado, takes it to midcourt. Now shoveled it over to Hield. Catch and shoot three right off his fingertips. Another splash for Buddy Hield.
That's Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Buddy Hield scoring 28 as Golden State outscored New Orleans by 22 after halftime to win 124-106. The Kings got a 113-96 win in Utah. The Jazz are 0-4. The Mavs top the T-Wolves 120-114 behind 35 from Kyrie. And the Nuggets outlasted the Nets 144-139 in overtime in Brooklyn. Nikola Jokic, 28 points, 18 rebounds, and 16 assists. The Seattle Kraken got an 8-2 win in Montreal. The Senators thumped the Blues 8-1 in a game that had a 30-minute delay for a power outage in the Ottawa Arena. And Cooper Flagg is the first male college athlete to sign a deal with Gatorade. The Duke star joining Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins with the company. Financial terms not reported yet. Perloff, back to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I deserve it. I earned that one. But again, Perloff did talk me out of texting you to say if you were okay.
Because he said like I took care of it. I don't know what she's talking about.
I actually suggested,
I said, you know, it'd be nice. He would really appreciate a note from you, Maggie. And she's like, nah, screw that guy. That's how I recall the conversation.
Yeah, right. I was like, well, what are you going to do?
Now she's going to send you cookies tomorrow. Like, she's going to go over the top.
If Pam gets me cookies, then we're back.
Oh, I mean, I can put in the order with my mom.
That's why he likes you more than me. Because when we first started in the morning shift, your mom made, was it cookie? It was some... It was something fancy.
Well, Maggie was just generally nicer to me.
Well, that too. That too. But I remember you were so excited about Maggie's mom cooking.
She's good.
Well, there was some kind of Christmas cookies. Biscotti, which I thought was from
the biscotti.
Store,
you talked about the biscotti
mom.
For about a month.
It was because it was basically perfect. And I thought really it was good. Like from like Jose Andre, like some fancy baker. And it was from her mom. It was super impressive.
I know. She's got the gift.
I got cookies from Maggie's mom. Awesome.
By the way.
But by the way, EJ was out for months.
Yeah. How many notes did he get, Maggie?
Actually, surprisingly few. Yeah. But my mom didn't bring you something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And that made us look bad.
You know who would appreciate some fancy cookies? The Perloff household. I mean, I've only known you for 15 years.
Guys, what do I look like, a freaking bakery? We're trying to do a show here.
Now you've got me all distracted about that. Because I do remember those biscotti. They were kind of like crumble cookies combined with biscottis.
Well, get sick or tear your patella tendon. I'm sure you'll get cookies or something.
Yeah, it's got to be real extreme. You got to tear your knee up in two places. Or just it could be the holidays. 855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do, including your thoughts on the fan behavior. Has it gotten worse since back in the day with what happened last night? Mookie Betts, two New York Yankee fans interfering with him in a ridiculous way, trying to rip the ball out of his glove like two idiots. We also have some major quarterback news to get to, so we'll do that. Thank you, bro. Welcome back. Got lots to get to. Asking you today if fan behavior has gotten better or worse since back in the day, whenever you, 70s, 80s, whatever, because of the two fans who interfered with Mookie Betts last night during the World Series. By the way, Yankees may be climbing back into this thing. If they win tonight, I think the pressure goes to the Dodgers. But for now, Yankees still have a lot of winning to do because they found themselves in an 0-3 hole. But there's been a lot of news, Perloff. We'll get to Anthony Richardson in just a little bit. But we didn't get to this yesterday, and it's important. Stephon Diggs is now out for the year. Houston Texans, definitely a contender. One of the great stories from last year. The offense hasn't looked exactly how we thought it would look. The offensive line has been leaky. Nico Collins was on IR, but he is going to come back. But now losing Stephon Diggs, does this make you think of them any differently as a contender?
So I saw this video clip. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN said, Diggs hurts a little bit, but does not change the prospect that the Houston Texans will go to the Super Bowl at all. I got to be honest, I was surprised about that. I'm like, wait, what? Because Nico Collins, their number one receiver, is hurt all the time. I this immediately downgraded them in my mind.
Really?
I mean, yeah, they don't have... Their offense is not dynamic at all, and Diggs has been kind of productive for them. And he does a lot of like little bubble screens that anybody can catch. But I definitely think, like, wow, that does not make me feel better about C.J. Stroud. I don't know why anyone would.
Yeah, I think it's more about their offensive line. I still think Stroud is so good, but their offensive line has been really uncharacteristically, you know, just leaky. You know, they were a good unit last year, which is how a rookie quarterback has the type of success, partly, that he was able to have. And they just have not been holding up as well. The thing about Diggs, to me, it doesn't really change their prospects, but watching him closely as being a Bills fan for, you know, and him being a huge part of their offense and being their number one, he is and has the ability to be that guy on third down. He is such a good safety blanket in that way. And he was not the number one receiver here. And that was very obvious that he's definitely lost a step, but he still has amazing hands. He's a bad ball catcher. And I still think they have enough talent, but man, this offense does not look how I thought it was going to look coming into year two. I just assumed they would build on what they had in year one with Stroud, and this was going to be a juggernaut. And some of these division games especially have been really dicey. I mean, they are asking for a loss, and now they have to play the Jets on Thursday night in a major spot, prime time. And oddly, the Jets are a 2-point favorite in this game.
Well, I think that, think about who their coach is, DeMeco Ryans, and where he coached. He was in San Francisco. They want to be more of a running back focused team, and they're doing it. I mean, they're full, they're transitioning from a passing team to like the, I guess, the Christian McCaffrey style, where their Will Anderson is going to come around the edge and destroy you. So they're now built to win a little differently than we thought. Listen. That defense could cause major problems for Aaron Rodgers. I've seen that line attack quarterbacks.
Yep.
So, and I'm a little worried about the Jets' O-line in this one. So I just think that they changed the formula midway through, especially when Nico Collins went down. Like you say, the line is bad. It wasn't so bad. Like Stroud's so comfortable throwing to that guy. He gets out immediately to him. Then he runs down the field. So I just think it's really a function of Collins. Yeah, they need Diggs. Tank Dell hasn't really been what we expected this year. This is definitely not good because they have nothing but Super Bowl aspirations. I don't care if they make the playoffs. That's not a step up. They have to be contenders. Yeah, I'm not quite sure like how people are just writing this off because there is a lot of that energy out there. It's like, Diggs is older. He's sort of not doing anything special right now. He's not even on pace for 1,000 yards.
I know. It's weird because before the season, remember when we were doing our preseason predictions and you're looking at every team and it's like, well, I want to kind of zag on the Houston Texans. Everyone's on them. Everyone thinks they're going to be this, you know, Super Bowl contender. Can I find a way to fade the public here? And you couldn't find it, right? It was hard to poke holes, like, in the roster, the resume, the coaching, the quarterback. It was hard to find. And then they got Diggs. And now it just doesn't look the same. It just doesn't. I know there's been injuries, obviously, Collins and even Mixon and all that, but it's just not, they're not ferocious like they were. Listen, they destroyed my team. So they ended up only winning the final score. It was 23-20. Josh Allen definitely got concussed in that game, but they look good against the Bills. They almost beat the Packers. I mean, they should have. But something is, they're not the juggernaut. I kind of thought they'd give us a little Lions energy, like, oh, we're blazing out of the gate.
I would argue their defense is very much improved. Like their defense, they're a top five defense right now, which is, I don't think they were last year. I mean, they weren't that great last year. They snuck in.
But it was a rookie quarterback, so you're grading them on a curve.
Yeah, I guess if you expected the second year jump of the quarterback. But again, I think they have a defensive head coach, and now they look like a team with a defensive head coach. And this thing about the Jets being favored is still really hard to wrap my head around.
Yeah, Jets are a 2-point favorite at home. They've lost 5 games in a row, including to the Patriots last week in Foxborough. I'm not sure why the Texans wouldn't be favored in this game. It's flip-flopped a little bit, I guess the line has, but it was 1.5 and pushed out to 2. Like, more money is coming in on the Jets.
No Diggs and no Nico Collins is big.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
just lost to Jalen Polk.
Oh, believe me. You don't got to convince me. I know.
Expect a lot of Joe Mixon coming at the Jets.
855-212-4227. Asking you, as fan interactions and behaviors worse now than back in the day? We also get to Anthony Richardson allegedly getting benched.